Well, several years ago, a prominent pastor in the Atlanta area seemed to suggest in a sermon that Christians should distance themselves from the Old Testament because of the worldview, value systems, and regulations of the Jewish scriptures are not very helpful for the church today, or so his argument was. Now, due to the prominence of this pastor, his comments created quite a stir, as many other pastors and theologians objected to what it was that he seemed to have been communicating. Now, to his credit, that initial pastor did respond to the controversy that he had created. He said that what he had been trying to say is that we need to distance ourselves from how the Old Testament is often misunderstood, not from how it is properly to be understood. Maybe you know who I'm talking about. But whatever he did or did not mean to say, I do know that sometimes readers of the Bible wonder if what he said was in fact true. After all, most of the strangest parts of the Bible are found in the Old Testament. The hardest and most confusing parts of the Bible are found in the Old Testament. While the New Testament is old, it's about 2,000 years old, parts of the Old Testament are twice that. And so it's no wonder that it can be challenging for us to read and to make sense of these texts. And so we might wonder, is there really anything in the Old Testament for us today? When Jesus came, he announced that he had come to fulfill and to complete the Old Testament covenant. He'd come to inaugurate the new and better covenant that we see evidence of in the New Testament. And so we might wonder, if the Old Testament covenant is complete and done, is there really anything in the Old Testament for us today? And I suspect that if we tracked all of the sermons that were being preached in all the churches across America, I bet that at least twice as many of them would be from the New Testament than from the Old Testament, even though the Old Testament is about twice as long as the New Testament. It's probably true of my preaching as well. And so people sitting in our churches might wonder, is there really anything for us in the Old Testament? Is the Old Testament worth our time and attention? Should we read it? Should we study it? Should we meditate on it and seek to understand it? Should we be reading the Old Testament when we could be reading the New Testament instead? I bet some of you here this morning have asked those questions or at least wondered about some of those questions. Well, it seems that some of the first century Christians in Rome might have been wondering some of those same things. Because in his letter to them, the Apostle Paul made a point to impress upon them the continuing value of reading and knowing the Old Testament. And we're going to see what Paul said to them this morning. And we are finally approaching the end of our series from the New Testament book of Romans. We've learned that this New Testament book, it's really a letter written by the great missionary and church planter Paul to the church located in the city of Rome. And this was a church that was a mix of both Jews and Gentiles who decided to follow Jesus, who decided to become Christians. And Paul writes to them in order to encourage their faith and to help make sure that they understand how and why God was at work within them, among them, and in the world around them. And in this series, we have learned that all of this letter is about the gospel and all of the gospel's implications for all of our life. Gospel being the good news that Jesus is the true rescuer king that we all need and long for. And most recently in our series, we have been learning how the gospel has the power to transform and to unify the church. Well, this morning we are going to see Paul tie together some of these important things that he has been teaching the church up to this point about how to pursue and preserve unity through the gospel. Then we're going to hear him explain why the Old Testament remains important for Christians to read and to know and to understand even after Jesus has come. And we're going to reflect on how knowing the Old Testament can help us as we seek to live faithfully in a beautiful but broken world. So if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to open to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. And if you're using one of the red Bibles in front of you there, we're going to be on page 1764. 1764 in the red Bible, Romans 15 everywhere else. Now here in chapter 15, Paul basically summarizes and ties together what he's been teaching them previously in what we know as chapter 14 about pursuing and preserving unity in the church. And so as Paul does this, listen to how Paul describes the two ways that a person can orient their lives based on who it is that they're most interested in pleasing. Look at verse 1, chapter 15. Here's what Paul writes. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So Paul tells the Christians in Rome, this text is telling us not to live for the sake of pleasing ourselves. Instead, we should concern ourselves with pleasing our neighbors for their good, to build them up. Instead of being self-focused and me-oriented, we are called to concern ourselves with what is good and best for others. In verse 3, Paul reminds us that this is how Jesus lived when he was amongst us. Jesus didn't live for the sake of pleasing himself. His focus was not on pursuing his own pleasure or happiness, but on what God the Father had sent him to do. He pursued what was best for others. In the second half of verse 3, Paul quotes from Psalm 69. This psalm is a psalm that David, King David, wrote. In it, David describes how his zeal for God meant that sometimes he didn't get treated well. Those who did not want to follow and obey God would heap on him the scorn that they felt for God. Jesus experienced much the same thing. And so Paul here shows that David's words have their greater fulfillment in Jesus. Paul is reminding his readers that Jesus willingly chose this more difficult way to live. Instead of living to please himself, which certainly would have been a much easier way to live, Jesus chose to endure the harder way of sacrifice and even suffering because he knew that that's what was going to be best for others. Well, Paul wants the Christians in Rome to look to Jesus as their example to follow. We see this in verse 5. Instead of being most concerned with pleasing themselves, Paul instructs them to be willing to make sacrifices for the sake of others. Because this is the way of Jesus, and it's the way of pursuing and preserving unity there in their church. Look at verse 5. Here's what he writes to them. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Now, for the remainder of the chapter, Paul describes how Jewish and Gentile unity in the church has actually always been part of God's plan. Jesus came to the Jews first, but it was always God's intent to include the Gentiles as well. Paul proves this point by pointing to a series of Old Testament quotes that he draws from the prophets, from the law, and from the Psalms, the writings. Together, those three categories, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, represent the three main divisions of the Old Testament. And so Paul has very purposefully drawn from all three of them in making his point. Look at what he writes, verse 8. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing praises to your name. That's from 2 Samuel. It's also quoted in Psalm 18. So that's the prophets and the writings. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. That's from Deuteronomy 32. That's from the law. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. Psalm 117, again, from the Psalms, the writings. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, the one who will arise to rule over the nations to the Gentile. In him, the Gentiles will have hope. Isaiah 11. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you're probably not keeping track, but Paul has now quoted from the Old Testament five times in the span of just 13 verses here in the New Testament. I think that for many of us, when we're reading the New Testament like this, we probably go by these Old Testament quotes without giving them much thought. In fact, maybe you don't even really read them at all. You just blow by them so you can get back to the good New Testament stuff. But tucked back there in verse 4, Paul explains why he includes them and why we shouldn't skip them. Look back at verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Now, obviously, for us today, everything in the Bible was written in the past. But what Paul is talking about here is specifically the Old Testament. And so this is Paul's argument for the value of the Old Testament. And what he says to the Christians in Rome is also what the Spirit of God is saying to us today. For everything that was written in the Old Testament was written to teach you, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, you might have hope. Now, before we look a little bit more closely at what this text is saying to us, there's something important that I want to make sure that we all understand about the Bible. I want to make sure that we all understand that while the Bible was written for us, it was not written to us. Think about that for a moment. No part of the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, was written to us. I mean, the Gospels, they were written to people living in the first century. This New Testament book of Romans was not written to us, but to the Christians who were living in the first century in Rome. The Old Testament, parts of it were written to the Israelites during their wanderings in the wilderness, during the Exodus. Parts of it were written to Jews who were living in exile. Parts of it were written to the inhabitants of Jerusalem who were waiting and watching for Messiah to come. None of these texts, Old Testament or New Testament, were written to Christians living in America in the 21st century. But they have been preserved for us. That's because these are not just ancient texts. These are God-breathed, Holy Spirit-inspired words of Scripture that have been preserved by God for His church. And so not written to us, but providentially, intentionally preserved for us. So why does this distinction matter, you ask? Well, there's an old joke that illustrates how things can go awry if we think that the Bible was written to us rather than for us. The story is told of a young man who was desperate to figure out God's will for his life. He reasoned that the Bible was probably the place to go to look for some answers because he'd been taught that it is the inspired Word of God. But not knowing where to start, he just opened up his Bible. And stuck his finger on a verse and read what it said. Found himself in Matthew 27, where it says, "So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. And then he went away and he hanged himself." Young man was understandably distressed by what he was reading. It all sounded pretty awful, and it didn't really seem like much of an answer to his question. So he decided he better try again. This time he opened to Luke chapter 10. And read the words of Jesus where it said to him, "Go and do likewise." I'm sure some of you have heard that joke before. To properly understand and interpret and apply these texts, we need to remember that while not written to us, they were written for us. All of them, Old Testament, New Testament, they were written for us, which is why Paul can say, everything that was written in the past, meaning the Old Testament texts, was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Well, let's break this down into four things that Paul wants us to see here. We should still read and study the Old Testament texts because they have much to teach us. The Old Testament has much to teach us about God, about ourselves, and about why the world is the way that it is. The Old Testament teaches us that God is a creator God, that His name is Yahweh, that He created everything out of nothing. It teaches us that everything in the world is separate from Him, but made by Him. It teaches us that this world is no accident. It exists according to His will and according to His design. The Old Testament teaches us that all of us, all human beings, both male and female, are made in the image of God. That makes us distinct from all the other animals. It teaches us important things about our identity, both in relation to God and in relation to each other. It teaches us about our purpose. We are image bearers. We are the visible representatives or representations of the invisible God. It teaches us about the work that we've been given to do, to fill and to develop the earth as co-regents with God over creation. It teaches us why our world is both beautiful and broken. God teaches us that God created a good and fruitful world, one that was just brimming with potential. But it also teaches us that we broke it by believing that we knew better than God how best to live in this world. It's the same struggle and temptation that every one of us still face today. That's a lot that the Old Testament can teach us. And what I've just summarized here is just what it teaches us in the first three chapters of the first book of the Old Testament. The Old Testament teaches us about the origin and the unfolding of God's great unstoppable plan, both to redeem this world, this broken world, and to rescue a people for himself through a man, Abraham, who became a great nation, the Jews, who are rescued from slavery in Egypt, who are established in a promised land, Israel, who due to their unfaithfulness lose this land in the exile, but are allowed to return again and to rebuild, all the while waiting for Messiah, the long-promised rescuer king. And this is the same plan that we are part of today as we wait for Jesus, the true rescuer king, to come again. See, the Old Testament teaches us when, where, and why it all started. That's the first reason that we should read and study Old Testament texts. The second reason that we should read and study Old Testament texts is because they help us practice endurance today. Think about the story of the Old Testament. It's a story of God working for, with, among, around, and sometimes in spite of his people. And what we see is that God's plan is unstoppable. No matter what foreign armies try to do, no matter how harsh the Egyptian slave masters become, no matter how corrupt the hearts of the kings turn out to be, God's plan to rescue and redeem his people prevails. God's love, God's faithfulness, God's presence always endures. And knowing that helps us endure even when things get really difficult and might otherwise seem hopeless today. I mean, maybe you find yourself in a difficult situation, maybe a difficult marriage. Warmth and tenderness has been replaced by coolness and indifference. Maybe this change was sudden, following the tragic choice made by one spouse or another. Maybe it just happened slowly, the accumulation of 1,000 small decisions that led you apart. There isn't much joy anymore, but you also know that God wants us to be faithful to our vows. Now, if that's you, open up your Bible to the Old Testament and let it teach you about how God is always with his people. Let it teach you to endure in prayer, in trying to make it work, in trusting that God can breathe new life into dying relationships. These texts were written to help us to endure. Third reason that we should still read and study the Old Testament texts is because they were written and preserved to encourage us. You know, if we read the Old Testament narratives, we quickly learn that there really aren't any new challenges or temptations under the sun. If we read the prophets, we learn that moral and spiritual corruption has always been a problem for our rulers and leaders. If we read the Psalms, we learn that the anxiety and fears, the joys and sorrows, the anger and even despair that we might be feeling right now is not unique to us, and is always something that we can freely bring to God and be honest with him about it. And in all of it, we read and we see and we hear how God over and over and over and over again meets his people right where they are and gives them all that they need. And that should encourage us. The Old Testament teaches us that no matter how great the threat, no matter how big the failure, no matter how deep the brokenness, God is still faithfully present and working out his good and unstoppable plan in us and around us. The fourth and final reason that we should still read and study these Old Testament texts is because they give us reason for hope. Now, in the Bible, hope is not just wishful thinking. In the Bible, hope is talked about as the confident expectancy that good will come from a God who is active in our world. The Old Testament was written and preserved for us to give us good reason to keep our hope in God. You know, because the Old Testament teaches us how God created everything, we have good reason to hope that He can and will recreate and fix all that is now broken in our world. Because the Old Testament teaches us how God stuck by His rebellious people and got them to their home in the Promised Land, we have good reason to hope that God's going to stick with us and bring us safely to our future forever home in glory. Because the Old Testament teaches us how God raised up just the right judges and leaders to rescue His people in the Old Testament, we have good reason to hope today that God will raise up the kind of leaders that His church needs now. Because the Old Testament teaches us how God didn't abandon His Old Testament people in their time of exile, we have good reason to have confident hope that God will never abandon us, even when it feels like we are exiles living in a strange land. These Old Testament texts were written and preserved for us to give us reason for hope. As we all walk out of here this morning in a few minutes, we will all be entering into a world that needs all of what this book can teach us. All that is found in it, both in the New Testament and what is found in the Old Testament. And we can't teach them what we don't know ourselves. And so I hope that you will leave here this morning more convinced of the importance, the ongoing importance of the Old Testament, more convinced of its ongoing value for us today, more convinced that it is worth your time and your effort to read, to study, and to meditate on. Now, I know when I say this that the Old Testament is more challenging for us to read and to study than the New Testament is. But I also want to tell you that there are some fantastic resources and tools out there that can help you get started in it. There's some great internet resources. Resources like the Bible Project. They have brief, creative videos that help explain the message and structure of each book of the Bible, including the Old Testament books. These videos have been enormously helpful to me, and I am completely confident that they would be for you as well. And so check out these videos, because if you do, the Old Testament books will make a whole lot more sense to you than many of them probably do right now. Get a copy of the Children's Bible Storybook that we read every Sunday here during the service. This is a book that shows us how all of the Bible, not just the New Testament, but also the Old Testament, all points us to Jesus. We saw that this morning. Now, I have other more grown-up focused books that do much the same thing. And in fact, in this week's e-bulletin, I'll send out some of those titles. I'll send you a list if you're interested in looking into some of those as well. But whatever you do, just don't ignore the Old Testament. Because everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope today. Let me pray. Father, we praise and worship you for your glory, for your love, and for your justice. Thank you for creating us and setting in motion your great unstoppable plan to rescue and to redeem us. Jesus, we pledge our highest love and loyalty to you as the long-promised rescuer king. Thank you for becoming one of us for the sake of teaching us how to live. Thank you for dying in our place so that we can be accepted by God as one of his specially chosen sons and daughters. All of it in fulfillment of everything that was taught to us in the Old Testament. Holy Spirit, thank you for giving us the spiritual resources that we need in order to live faithfully in this world and in our churches. The conviction to love and accept each other, even when we don't agree on disputable matters. Give us eyes to see what you want us to do as part of what you started in the Old Testament. Give us ears to hear where you want us to go as part of what you are continuing to still do today. Fill us with your power so that with our whole selves and with minds renewed by all that you teach us, including what you teach us in the Old Testament, we can join you in all that you are doing in our beautiful but broken world. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.